Welcome to Talks from the Bible. Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, Jesus answers the question of a young man about eternal life. Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. I wish to speak to you about my faith in heaven. I believe in heaven. I believe that there will be those that spend eternity in heaven. But I also believe that there will be those that spend eternity in hell. Heaven is the opposite of hell. Heaven is the place where the righteous will go, where the godly will spend eternity, where the followers or disciples of Jesus Christ will dwell in the afterlife. Jesus told this young man, as he inquired of what he must do to have eternal life, that he must have treasure in heaven. Our treasure must be in heaven. I wish to speak about my faith in heaven. Heaven is our hope. All of us have hope. We have hope that certain things will pass from us. We have hope that some things will improve for us. We have hope that our days will get better. Perhaps if we are in poor health, we hope that we will get better and that we will improve. Hope helps sustain us in life. Hope helps us to get through the darkness. Hope helps us to bear the burdens of life. Hope enables us to endure. Heaven is our hope. The Christian has a hope of heaven. The Christian believes that there is a place called heaven, a home named heaven. The Christian believes that heaven is the dwelling place of God, the dwelling place of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal home of the righteous, the saved, and the redeemed. We hope for heaven. As Paul wrote to the Colossian church in chapter 1 and verse 5, he said, For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Paul says that the gospel is the word of truth. The Bible contains the gospel. The Bible is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is a word of truth. And the gospel says that we have a hope in heaven. Paul addresses this letter to the church. The church of Jesus Christ has hope of heaven. We believe that if we live as God has instructed us to live, that if we follow His divine ordinances, if we pattern our life after the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and we live in obedient faith, that we have a hope in heaven. Paul said this hope is laid up for you in heaven. At 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. As Peter writes to these readers of his truth, inspired of God, he speaks of a living hope. This hope has been secured by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This hope is an inheritance. Notice the qualities of this inheritance: uncorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, Can you imagine such an inheritance? Is there any inheritance that you would receive upon the earth that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away? Absolutely not. But the hope which has been secured for the Christian, the inheritance that is given to the Christian, is the living hope of an inheritance that Peter says is reserved in heaven for you. Heaven is our hope. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul writes from prison toward the very end of his life, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul was sustained while in prison because of a heavenly kingdom. He believed that he had a hope of a heavenly kingdom. Heaven is our hope. Heaven is our expectation. We live in expectation. We expect to be rewarded with heaven. We expect that God is going to bless us with a heavenly home. We serve Him. We worship Him. We honor Him. We devote our hearts unto Him. We separate ourselves from the world. We live a life that is godly and righteous and sober in His kingdom because we have the expectation of our reward in heaven. In Philippians 3, 20-21, "For our conversation is in heaven." That word conversation is translated in other versions as citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. That means that the citizenship of the Christian, the citizenship of those who are members of the Lord's church, is not on the earth. We live upon the earth. We are citizens of a country upon the earth. But that citizenship one day will be terminated by our death, by our departure from this life. We will no longer be citizens of the country where we now dwell. But Paul says to the church, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look. We look, we have an expectation for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes, what do we expect Him to do? What do we anticipate is going to happen? "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself." The Apostle Paul said, we have citizenship in heaven, and because of that citizenship, we expect, we anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus. And when He comes, He's going to change this vile body, this fleshly body, this earthly body, this corruptible body, this decaying body, so that it is fashioned like unto His own glorious body, because He is able to do that. He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. Our expectation is established upon the foundation of God's ability to subdue all things unto Himself and bring about a transition of our earthly body into an heavenly body fashioned like unto the Lord's own body. That is our expectation. Titus 2 and verse 13, looking, that's anticipation. That's an expectation, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking for that blessed hope which is reserved in heaven for us. We expect the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has promised that He is going to come. And we believe that what Jesus has promised, He is going to fulfill. The Christian serves the Lord because the Christian believes that what God has promised and what Jesus has secured by His death, burial, and resurrection from the grave is the promise of God and the expectation that we have a blessed hope, and we're looking for that hope. We're anticipating that hope. At 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 through 17, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. These Christians are troubled because some of their loved ones have died, and they're questioning whether or not those Christians are going to be raised to life again. And Paul is writing to them concerning the assurance of the resurrection. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Notice that term that Paul uses concerning those who are dead in Christ. They are asleep. We expect that when we sleep, we will be awakened. While we sleep, we do not know what is happening, but we expect to awaken from that sleep so that we have a knowledge and an understanding of what is taking place. And Paul says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul explains to these troubled saints that Jesus is going to come. He's going to come with a shout, with the voice of the angels, with the trump of God. That's going to shake the foundation of hell. Death is going to crumble. The dead in Christ are going to arise. And those who are alive and remain are going to be caught up with the dead in Christ. And together, we shall be with the Lord forever, the apostle says. That is our expectation. We expect that Jesus is going to come. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to transition us from this corruptible, vile body into a body fashioned like unto his own body. And we are looking, we are anticipating, we are expecting that hope whereby we will dwell in that heavenly home. Heaven is our search. Heaven is not simply going to be given to us. There are people who believe that everyone is going to heaven, but that is simply not the teaching of the Bible. Heaven must be sought. Heaven must be desired. We began with a question from a young man to Jesus, "What shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "If you will be perfect, if you will be complete with me, then you must go and sell what you have and give to the poor. You're going to have to separate yourself from your riches because that's where your attention is. And you will have treasure in heaven, but treasure in heaven must be sought. We must desire to have treasure in heaven. We must obtain treasure in heaven. Heaven must be our search. At Colossians 3 and verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, Paul has explained in chapter 2 of the Colossian letter, at verses 11 through 13, that we are risen with Christ by being baptized into Christ. And Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, show us that baptism is a resurrection from water. We're raised to walk in newness of life. The old man is destroyed. The old man is crucified. We become united in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And we're raised to walk in newness of life. And so when we are baptized into Christ, we are raised to a new life. And if then ye be risen with Christ. If, have you been raised with Christ? Have you been baptized into Christ and raised with Christ? If is a condition. And if this is the case with you, if you have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Christ returned to heaven and was seated at the right hand of God. Paul said you must seek those things that are above. You must search for those things that are above. Heaven must be at the fervent desire of our heart. Heaven must not be on a list of things for which we wish and which we desire, but which we want. And we are willing to make whatever sacrifice is necessary in order to obtain heaven. The young man was told, sell what you have, give to the poor. That young man was not willing to do that if we continue reading that story in Matthew chapter 19. He went away sorrowful, for the Bible says he had great possessions. He had an interest in eternal life, but he did not have a desire for eternal life. You must have a desire to go to heaven, a willingness to go to heaven, a want to us to go to heaven. Matthew 6 and verse 20. Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Lay up treasures in heaven. That's a work of faith. As I live my life in service to Jesus as a member of the Lord's church, honoring God and serving Christ, I'm laying up treasure in heaven. If I expect the treasure of heaven, I must have stored treasure in heaven. In Luke 13:24, strive to enter. That is a word that means to labor as in agony. You're really working. Have you ever worked at a job, at a task, so hard and for so long that you sweated and became tired and weary? You were actually striving to complete the job and to perform the work? Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. Many will seek to enter, but they will not be able because they did not strive for heaven. Heaven was not their search. Heaven might have been the place that they wanted to spend eternity, but they were unwilling to pay the price and make the sacrifice that Jesus required for this eternal home. Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers upon the earth. They received a promise from God, they saw it afar. They were persuaded of that promise, they embraced that promise, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. We must embrace heaven. We must not simply want to go to heaven, hope that we go to heaven, but we must actually work and strive and labor in the kingdom of God so that we are worthy of heaven. And heaven is our reward. Heaven is the reward of faithful service. We expect to be rewarded by the Lord God, by the Lord Jesus Christ, for the labor that we have given to Him. The Bible speaks of laboring in the kingdom of God. Jesus taught parables about how we labor in His vineyard, how we work in His kingdom. Jesus Himself said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus knew there was a limit to the time that He had to work, and there is a time that we have. There is a limitation placed upon us because we're not going to live here forever. We must labor while we have life and while we have opportunity, while we have the blessing from God of breath. We must have the willingness to labor for the reward. In Matthew 5 and verse 12, Jesus said to his disciples, and he spoken to them about trouble and persecution in living the Christian life. He said, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you." They persecuted all of those that have come in my name, and they will persecute you, but you can rejoice because you have a reward in heaven. Mark 10:29-30, Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life." Jesus was telling his disciples that there was a sacrifice that they were going to have to make. There was a work that they were going to have to perform. There was a labor in which they must be involved. And they would be given heaven. Heaven will not come to us by happenstance nor by accident. Heaven is a work, a reward for which we must labor. We must serve the Lord with vigorness, with enthusiasm, with excitement, with devotion, with courage. And there will be times of persecution. There will be times of difficulty. There may be even in the lives of some times of doubt. But the reward is there. Jesus has promised to reward His servants. In 2 Timothy 4:7-8, Paul is in prison in Rome. He's at the end of his life. And he says to young Timothy, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Those are words of labor. Fought, finished, kept. That's the course of the Christian life. That's what every child of God must do. That's our involvement in the kingdom. We must fight, we must finish, and we must keep. "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." Heaven is our reward for our labor in the kingdom, for our faithful service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is our rest. This world is tiring. Labor wears us. Labor causes us to faint. But heaven is a place of rest. In Hebrews 4 and verse 9, "There remaineth therefore the rest to the people of God." This world is not our rest. This world is not where we rest. This life is not where we rest. This life is to be our labor for God, our service to the Lord Jesus Christ, our involvement in the kingdom, our devotion to the commandments and the rules that God has given. But there is a rest that is promised to the people of God. There remains a rest. In Revelation 14:13, "I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed." If you read the book of Revelation, there are blessings bestowed in that wonderful book. It's a book about persecution. It's a book about the war of the devil against the saints of God, against the church of God. It's a book about evil trying to triumph over righteousness. But within that book, with all of the persecution and all of the warfare that is presented, there are blessings. The book of Revelation in chapter 1 and verse 3 begins with a blessing. And in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14, it ends with a blessing. And in Revelation 14:13, there is a blessing. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. We must die in the Lord. How do we get in the Lord? We believe in the Lord. We're baptized into the Lord, as we have already mentioned. We're raised with the Lord in newness of life. And then we seek heaven. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. O land of rest, for thee I sigh. Here I labor. Here I serve. Here I work. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that God has given to me and to His church to work and serve Him, to labor in His kingdom. But there is a land of rest. There is a city of rest. There is a promise of rest. When we die, we have completed our work. We have finished, as the Apostle Paul said, our course. And we long and look for this land of rest. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, "And to you who are troubled," they were being persecuted. The church has enemies. Satan is our enemy, our adversary. Satan fights against our willingness to do good and serve God. Satan tries to interfere with our willingness to devote ourselves to the Lord. Satan presents obstacles to us so that we will lose faith and become faint and quit in our service to God. We're troubled. Do you who are troubled rest? Rest is a noun in that passage of Scripture. It is a promise. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, when Jesus is revealed, then you and I are going to enter into the land of rest. Heaven is our eternal dwelling. This world is not eternal. Our life is going to be terminated. You and I are going to end our journey, conclude our pilgrimage. And one day this earth, in all of its beauty, in all of its precision and exactness, is going to be destroyed, as God has promised, 2 Peter chapter 3. But heaven is eternal. There will be no interruptions in the joy of that land. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," we know that it's going to be, "we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." This is a word of assurance, a word of promise, a guarantee to the Christian. And Paul will go on to say that this promise is secured. This house not made with hands, this building of God, this eternal dwelling is secured by the Lord Jesus Christ and by His Holy Spirit. Now listen to verse 2. "We have a building from God, house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Only God can build that which is eternal. Now verse 2, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." Heaven is that land of eternal rest. Heaven is that eternal dwelling of God's child. Hebrews 10 verse 34, "For ye of me in my bonds took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing that in heaven you have a more enduring substance." A better and an enduring substance. Hebrews 13:14, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Heaven is a land of continuance, which will never, never, ever end. Heaven is the eternal dwelling. Heaven is our rest. Heaven is our reward. Heaven is our search, our expectation, our hope. I believe in a land called heaven. I believe that that land is promised to the child of God, to the faithful Christian, to the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that by the grace of a loving God, heaven has been provided and secured for the faithful in Christ Jesus. Talks from the Bible have been brought to you by the Church of Christ.